in truth. As Mike had stated, we come each first day of the week to pay our respect and our homage to the love God has shown through us and through the love of Jesus Christ dying for our sins. We have a sign out in front of the building. The Church of Christ meets here. Let's always remember that's not just the title of a sign. It's ownership. It's the Lord's church. It's Christ's church. We are the church that meets here in Lakeland Hills, and how wonderful it is that we have this opportunity to do so. I would encourage you at this time to open up your Bibles to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. This morning I've titled my lesson, Him We Preach. And I get the title of that lesson from the book of Colossians, and basically we'll stay within the book of Colossians this morning. We may give so few other passages, but we're going to stay within Colossians as a whole. But the phrase, Him We Preach, is used in Colossians. Let's see if this is going to move in. Oh, there we go. And Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. There we have in chapter 1 and verse 28, New King James Version, Him We Preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So Paul's telling him we preach. We're the Lord's church. He shed his blood for us. And therefore, we need to be focused upon him. You know, when we think about being focused upon him and him we preach, let's add a few other passages to that. We find out that Christ is before all things. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. There we have recorded, speaking of Jesus, For he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Again, remember we started out, him we preach. Well, one of the first things we realize as we preach him, Christ was here before all. He's a part of deity. Again, as we look on the chart here, we see the second thing, and that Christ is to have preeminence, staying in Colossians chapter 1. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And he, of course, we know that's talking of Jesus, speaking of Jesus. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Again, speaking of Christ, we're starting out the topic, the theme for this whole study, him we preach. The reason we preach him is because it's all these things exist because of him. But here we have the church. He's the head of the church. But notice that he's to have preeminence. Now, if you have the NIV version, instead of the word preeminence, he's to have supremacy. Or if you have the New American Standard, he's to have first place. But I want you to note in that last sentence, he's to have supremacy, first place, or preeminence in all things. Now, it's good you're here this morning, but he is to have this first place all throughout our day, all throughout our life. In him, we have that salvation. That's why Paul says, him we preach. Jesus is the one that is our focus. Again, let's go to another illustration, and that is we are complete in him. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Look at verse 10. You are complete in him. I want to stop here now and just think about this. If we take Jesus out of the equation, where does that leave us? In a very deplorable condition, does it not? And that's why it's him we preach. It's Jesus Christ. And now we're going to look at why, as we tie this together with other passages within the book of Colossians. As we continue on, we learn that God qualifies us through whom? Through Christ. Remember, we started, him we preach. How important that is. And he qualifies us through Christ as we look at Colossians chapter 1. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12 through 14. Colossians 1, 12. Giving thanks to the Father who hath qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now it's interesting, as we start in verse 12, God qualified us, how? Through his Son. How? Through his blood. How? By responding to him. Remember when they asked men and brethren, what shall we do in Acts chapter 2? They were told to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? For the remission of your sins. Remember Ananias, as he came to Saul, who we know as Paul. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and what? Wash away thy sins. So again, we are qualified by God. If God didn't send the qualifier, Jesus Christ, we'd still be lost. But God qualified us through him. Now, when it says qualified us through him, that means we submit to his teachings. I am saved. And again, if you don't get anything else, get this morning. I am saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I have heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I have the blood of Jesus Christ starting at initial obedience and continuing to be faithful as I walk in the light, as he is in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ covers me from all our sins. Now notice we started out, him we preach. You see how important it is to preach him? That he's to be on the pedestal. Again, when we talk about qualifies us through Christ, let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on the earth or things in the heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Okay, I want to just take a side note as we talk about the blood of his cross. I hear so many times people say, you mean to tell me I'm not going to be saved because I'm not baptized? And you've heard me say before, you're not going to be saved if you've not been baptized, because that's when you come into contact with the blood of Christ. So you're not saved because you don't have the blood of Christ. You mean to tell me I'm not going to be saved because I don't do some of the things that God's word tells me to do after I've been baptized? No, you're not going to be saved because you've decided to step outside of the blood of Christ. I need to stay inside that realm, and I walk in the light as he's in the light. It makes common sense. I'm saved by Jesus Christ. He qualified us through his blood. But I've got to make sure I do things his way to be qualified by that blood. Perhaps next week I will be teaching on a lesson that we all know, but we don't study very often. And that is, what type of music do we have and why? Now, again, if you just simply stick to the scriptures, it's not hard to understand. But it's by putting Christ on the pinnacle. Him we preach. It's him God qualifies us. But now after we've been qualified by putting on Christ, it's also him that we have to walk in Christ. God does not leave us to our own discretion as to how we should live after we've been baptized. He's given us that pattern, and that pattern's the New Testament. Now, you can reject it if you want, but then you just deceive yourselves. But let's look at some of the things on how we walk in him. In Colossians chapter 2, let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, look it, so what? So walk in him. Now, when we see the term walk, it means our conduct of life. So walk, conduct of life in him. And how is that? Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Okay, let's stop. Now, how are we established in the faith? We go back to Romans, don't we? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're established by the word of God. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Okay, so now we're talking to those of us who have put on Christ, those of us who have been conveyed in the kingdom of his dear son, that we are, as we look at these passages, to be rooted and built up in him. Again, as we continue on, go back to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk, and if you make underlines, underline this next phrase, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord. Remember, him we what? Preach. To walk worthy of the Lord. On your daily life, are you walking in such a way that the Lord approves? It goes on, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I cannot walk worthy of the Lord if I don't know what the Lord wants. But the Lord teaches us what he wants, does he not, through his word. Him we preach. Not only do you have to be baptized to put him on, so you have his blood, but now you need to walk worthy of him. But let's go on. And Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3. In doing that, we put off sin. And he gives two examples of this. Look at how it breaks this down in Colossians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, evil passions, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, in which you yourselves, look at how my Bible reads, in which, verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So he's talking about their past conduct. This is what you did. And you came out of that. You put on Christ. God qualified you by putting on Christ as you submitted to him. But let's go on. But now, do you see verse 8, but now? You see the difference between 7 and 8? 7 said, which you once walked. Before you were a child of God, you did those things. When you learned the truth, you came out of those things. But that's not all we need to come out of. Because it says, but now it goes, you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Now, verse 8 is a whole sermon by itself. But the point is, you put off the past things, but now you're in Christ, you're walking in Christ, you need to put these off too. I could have a whole lesson on each one of those things, could I not? As it goes on, verse 9, do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, oh, here comes that knowledge again, according to the image of him who hath created him. Do you see what happens here? As we have recorded for us, you put off those things, here's how you live. You may have put some things away, but now you got to put other things away. Do we pay attention to that? Each and every day you're alive, do you ask yourself this question, is Christ pleased with my life? It goes on as we put on, as we talk about that. And I'm kind of like Jeopardy. You ever watch Jeopardy? You have those guys pushing those buttons. And I'm pushing the button, nothing's happening. I've got to aim to this chart. I've got to get that in my mind. See, we used to have a thing up here, and all I have to do is point there, but now I got to, so I'm like those silly people on Jeopardy that are going like that, thinking, what a fool, just put your hand down. So bear with me. So as it talks about, now you put off those things, now look at what it tells us to put on. Put on the new man, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, okay, you put off the old man, those past things, those present things. Therefore, as the elect of God, I want to stop here, verse 12. Remember what we studied this Wednesday night, Thessalonians, right? We're in 1 Thessalonians 3. But remember 1 Thessalonians 1:4, your election of God. And we talked about how one is elect. Here we have again, therefore, as the elect of God, holy beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also, and italics, must do. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Look at 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Okay, when we were called in one body, when God qualified us. How did God qualify us? Through Christ. How'd that happen? When we obey. You see how this all ties together? All right, as we go on, let the word of Christ, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We'll take that for next week, perhaps. And whatever you do, verse 17, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Wait. We can quote that, can't we? But do we live it? Is there a difference? Easy to quote. Harder to apply. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all. It's not saying the Lord's name. It's saying whatever you chose to do, is it in harmony with the Lord's will? Let me give you one illustration. And I don't select movies for anybody. Do I see some movies? Yes. I'll keep that to myself. But I've learned not to recommend movies because maybe I've seen something in the movie that is not appropriate and you really take offense to it. And then I don't want you saying, but the preacher recommended it. I recommend no movies. I don't recommend Walt Disney movies. I don't recommend movies. You know, I'll give you an illustration. Years ago, I loved John Wayne as far as an actor. Rough and tough cowboy. That was before I became a Christian. I still liked his acting, but I ceased recommending his movies. I didn't realize all the swearing he did in his movies. It was brought to my attention. How can you recommend that, Chuck? So again, I don't recommend movies. That being said, taking Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Ask yourself this question the next time you go to the cinema, the next time you turn a movie on in your home, what if the Lord's sitting next to you? Would you be uncomfortable? And if you answer yes, you know what that's telling you? Then don't do it. Let's go about our attire. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. What should I wear? Let's say the Lord is going to walk downtown with you. Men, you going to go bare-chested? I hope not. Even if you got the greatest shape in the world, I hope not. Now, most of the men that I know that go bare-chested don't even have a good shape. They look like me. They look like Humpty Dumpty. Keep your clothes on. I'm not going to tell you where to go and what you shall see. I'm not going to tell you what to put on. I'm going to ask you, would the Lord be pleased? Would the Lord be pleased if I wore a pair of pants so you can see the color of my underwear as I'm walking down the street? Would he be pleased with that? All right, thumbs up. No, I don't think there'd be a thumbs up to that, do you? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That is who should guide us in all our decisions on what we do and what we say. And again, it's talking about walking in Christ. But let's move on, because Colossians has a lot more about walking in Christ. We know Colossians chapter 3, and I put in my notes here for this section, 18 through 22, and Colossians, I say relationships. Now here's a series of four lessons. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Oh, that last thing, as is fitting in the Lord. Not submit to your husbands because you think he deserves it today. No, it doesn't say that, but we'll go on. We'll talk more about that some other day. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. That's a whole lesson too now, isn't it? But it's talking about relationships. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Wow. Parents, are you teaching your kids that? Now, sometimes you give your kids a bonus because they were good, right? You know, if you're good, I'm going to get you. Okay, that by itself, that's not wrong. But be careful that obedience is not always required a gift. Because what you can give your 2-year-old is not going to work for your 12-year-old. Right? I'm not saying kids should ever get gifts, but you know why they obey? Because God expects it. That's what should be taught. You obey because our Creator of heaven and earth, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, expects it. You are the authority figure, and that's a whole study to itself. You're not the child's playmate. You're the child's parent. There's a difference there. I'm not saying you can't have a relationship with them. But I've learned in years past, too many parents want to be their kids' friends, especially when they get to the high school years. First of all, when you try that, you look dumb. You look dumb. Because if they're 17 and you're 40, you can't be 17. Right? That doesn't mean you can't have communication with your kids. I remember my kids when they were teenagers. I loved that time. I really did. But I was always their parent. And there were things I didn't go. If some kids were getting together, I didn't think I need to be in the midst of them. If Jake went out with some of his wrestling buddies after meet, or if Kim went out after her band with a meet, I didn't feel I got to be in the midst of them because I'm just like, no, I'm not. I'm their parent. Right? So again, we ask, here's these relationships. Fathers, verse 21, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. That doesn't mean you don't discipline. I don't want to upset my child. The Bible says don't upset your child. The Bible does not say don't upset your child. You've misread that. Do not provoke your child. In other words, be consistent. The whole study there on that one. Lest they become discouraged. Have you ever seen some parents that their children could never do anything right? I mean, no matter what they did, and I'm still talking about parents in the body of Christ. And then they wonder why their kids go off the handle once they get out of the house. That's where we have to be careful. And then it talks about slaves. As we go on, bondservants. We're not talking, now, you know what we equate that today with? But it's really not an equal. We equate that with employers and employees, but the bondservant couldn't leave. You see, if I'm in a bad situation, I could leave and find something else. This bondservant couldn't leave. Let's read what it says there in verse 22. Bondservants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. I worked in secular work before I started preaching. You ever know those employees that we would call brown noses? Because every time the supervisor was there, they were the best worker in the place. But every time the boss was gone, you couldn't find the worker either. But boy, when the boss showed up, there they are. What can I do? What can I do? I'd like to put duct tape on your mouth because you don't want to do anything. Right? He says, that's not how you do it. You do it because you're pleasing God. Relationships. How many studies could we have on that? Again, it goes back. Him we preach. In preaching Christ, it shows us how to have these different relationships, does it not? Then we go on, and Colossians chapter 3, this is my pet peeve. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. What has happened to our society today? People just don't care. I don't care if you're making $10 an hour. If you're working, do your job and do it the best way you know how. I have to be careful on my anger issue. When I'm standing there to pay for something, and three workers are talking amongst themselves, here I am, I'm waiting to go, and they see you, and they keep on talking. That ever happened to you? What's wrong with that? They're not giving their best, I'll say that much. Well, they don't pay me to give my best. That's not what the passage says. That's not what the passage says. If I understand that passage correctly, I give my best in everything I do. Now, my best one day might be better than another day, but I give my best in whatever I do. How about you? Because why? We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We got too many people that are just satisfied to slip by. Slip by. We have too many in the church that are just simply satisfied to slip by. You give your best. Whatever that best is. I don't know what it is. But don't be a sloth. That's a whole different study. But let's go on. Him we preach. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. He started out, right? Him we preach. Talked about relationships, talked about your personal point of what you do, and now talks about those outside. Colossians 4 or 5, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Outsiders are looking at you, especially if they know you're a Christian. I'm not ashamed to tell someone I'm a Christian, but hopefully they see it in my conduct that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed, you know, that hey, I'm a child of God and I go to the Lord's Church at Lakeland Hills. I have no problem telling people that. But hopefully they can see it in my life. Redeeming the time to those who are outside. And I'll tell you what, there's so many little idiosyncrasies that affect us that can stop us from doing that. For instance, so I talk about these idiosyncrasies. I've never understood was as long as lights we have, that as I'm ready to go, as soon as that light turns green, that the person ahead of me has to wait 5-6 seconds after, and that light's going to turn red again. Ever happened to you? I don't know why they're doing that. Maybe they're daydreaming. Oh, by the way, did you ever daydream? You ever do that? So, okay, give the... And I can give you a number of other things. I have to watch my attitude when others are pushing my buttons because I'm a Christian. You have to watch your attitude when others are pushing your buttons because you're a Christian. You have to do the right thing. Because you know what? Someone of the world, Satan, will take that and say, see, that person calls himself a Christian. Look what they do. I'm just as good as them, and I don't do that. Do people act like that sometimes? Don't give someone an excuse not to do what's right. Oh, by the way, they're not going to get away with it. They're still going to be held accountable. But you live in such a way. And by the way, if you're not living in harmony with God's will, then make a change. Make a change. But let's move on. As we move on, Colossians chapter 1, as we bring this out, lesson to a close. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. It tells us here, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And here what we have as we talk about him we preach, don't be moved from the hope. You know, as was spoken in our prayer, and hopefully this society comes back together, which we don't know what's going to happen. But remember this, we still have the hope. We still have the hope. And when we talk about that hope, it goes on and explains it a little bit further to us. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. Where's the hope laid up? Heaven. Not here. Heaven. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it goes and tells us this. If you then be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. What do you think the word above is? That's talking about heaven, right? How do I know that? Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Where's God? In heaven. So you seek those things that are... So again, there's our hope. In other words, him we preach. You put him on. You live for him. You have the right relationships. You give your best. And you've got that hope. So let's draw this lesson to a close this morning by going to a couple of passages. The first passage we are going to is Colossians 4:12. Now you have to bear with me, because kind of, you ever heard the phrase, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Well, first of all, I'm not a dog and I'm not trying to learn tricks. But nevertheless, for 43 years of my life, as we look in Colossians, in this passage, chapter 4 and verse 12, for 43 years of my life, when I would read that, I would always say Epaphras. And I was corrected 4 years ago, and I was told, you're saying it wrong, Chuck. Now, you know, as a human being, we say, now, who are you to tell me I'm saying it wrong? I've done this for 40-some-odd years. I've preached little sermons all over and gospel meetings, and no one's ever questioned me when I said Epaphras. You know what he told me it was? Epaphras. I said, Epaphras. And surely he can't be right. So I went home, got my trusty word program on, how to say things. I'm constantly going to how to say things, and I still don't say them right. And it's Epaphras. So if you want to say Epaphras, I have no problem with that. You know, that's the American way. I don't know. Epaphras, now that we've got his name under control, let's see what he says. Epaphras, or Epaphras, one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always. Look at what he says. Laboring fervently for you in prayers that you might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What's your goal? To stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And the only way we can do that is put on those lessons when we preach Christ. So the final passage this morning, I didn't speak that long, it's not nighttime. I didn't take up Daryl's place tonight. We have recorded in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Now we read 28, that started our lesson, verse 27. To them God will, talking about the Gentiles, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Him we preach. What's that? Christ in you. And how is Christ in me? By putting on, because God made a way, by living the life, by setting the example, and by having the relationships the way God wants us to have them. If you're here this morning, simple question for you. Is Christ in you? Not by simply how you feel, but by what this book has to say. God wants to qualify you. You can't be qualified without God. But you're qualified in Christ. And you're qualified in Christ as you repent and are baptized for the remission of your sins. But once we've been qualified, now we've got to keep that qualification going. Now you think about that. Someone becomes qualified in a field. Aren't you glad that they got to keep up their qualifications? Yeah, I was quite, I don't know much about Bob's profession, but, you know, here comes somebody comes after me because I'm sick. And they're going to do some work on me to get me to the hospital. And they've been qualified and they've got the expertise, but they haven't updated it. It's an expertise from 30 years ago. Oh, no, go home. I don't want you. Get me the next group. Get me someone who's constantly updated. Are you updated in the Lord's will as we stand and as we sing?